Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Let's get into the word. I'm going to just try and get you to understand why it is important to shine, why you need to do this. Psalm 50, verse 2, it says, "Out of Zion," without going into all kinds of incredible doctrinal proofs, let me just tell you straight up, Zion is the church. Whenever you see Zion, it's the church. How do I know that? Because you let the word interpret the word. In Hebrews, which is in the New Covenant, comes through the filter of the cross. In Hebrews, it says there, it says that Zion is the heavenly Jerusalem. Zion is the church. Zion is the church. So how is God going to manifest his goodness and his beauty? It says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth." That's a good word right there. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. All right, Psalm 50, verse 2, "Out of Zion, they'll shine." Isaiah 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Arise. I mean, that's a declarative command. Arise. I like the way the Amplified says, arise from depression. Arise from circumstances. Arise from that prostrated condition you find yourself in. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So, you know, God doesn't command you to do something you can't do. He says, arise and shine because your glory is here. My glory is in you. It's gushing forth from within you. The word for illuminated and bright is the word or, to shine, to be illuminated, to be bright. And the word to rise up is zarak. It means to rise up, to come forth, to break out. Break out. It's time to break out because you are flooded with the light of the glory of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." See, there's an eternal promise to those who win souls. There's an eternal promise to those who turn people to righteousness that they shall shine forever. Did you know that in eternity, those who engage the purpose of God, of turning people to Jesus, of turning people to righteousness, throughout eternity, there's a greater reward, there's a greater shine. They'll be brighter throughout eternity than those who just got in by the skin of their teeth. You know, when you are extending the kingdom, when you're bringing people into the kingdom, when you're extending righteousness in people's hearts and lives, it says there's an eternal blessing there. You understand more fully the mission of the kingdom when you see a friend or a family member turn to Jesus or set free. You'll understand more the vision of this house when you see somebody that you care about, somebody who's going through a hard time, somebody who is in darkness, turn to the light. You know, it says you were darkness, not you were in darkness, but it says you were darkness and now you are light. You know, outside of Christ, there's darkness and there's light. When you come to Christ, you're in light. There's people around you all day, every day, that are in darkness. And when you get a compassion for them and a passion to see them set free, that's going to explode in you and do something wonderful for you. So we need to be people with a passion to see people turned on to God. Can I get an amen? Now, tell me, what did Solomon ask for? Does anybody remember? What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Now, why did he ask for wisdom? Are you ready? Let me show you right here. It's right here. It's in the Bible. Right here. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "You have made your servant king instead of my father David." Here he is. He's saying, "Lord, I mean, this is huge. I mean, I'm a child. I'm a young man. And now it's your choice. You have chosen to set me up over your people instead of your servant David." But look what he says. "I do not know. I do not know." He said, "I am a little child and I do not know how to come out or to come in. I do not know how to come in or to go out." Then he said, "I need wisdom," or in Kings it says, "I need a listening ear. I need to be hooked up with you. I need to be engaged with you. Lord, help me here." What is the problem? The problem is I don't know how to come in and I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in and I don't know how to go out. Now go to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Who's flipping? You got to flip. If you want to get revelation, get your Bible out and start paying attention. Come on, you got to flip. 1 Kings 3:7, he said, I don't know how to come in and I don't know how to go out. Now, well, why is that significant, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Does he not know how to use a doorknob? I mean, does he have a hard time with rotating doors, swinging doors? Does he not have the keys? Is the door locked? What is the problem? He doesn't know how to come in and he doesn't know how to get out. Is it because he's too young? He's too little? What's he saying? I don't know how to come in and I don't know how to go out. That's not what he's saying. This is very, very important. Numbers chapter 27, he says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh. Now, this is Moses. Moses saying, I need a new leader. I'm stepping out. I need somebody to step up here. Let the God of all spirits, the spirits of all flesh, set a man over this congregation who may go out before them and go in before them. Someone who can come out and someone who can go in. I need someone who knows how to come out, and I need someone who knows how to come in, who may lead them out and bring them in. Deuteronomy chapter 31, 1 and 2. Then Moses went and spoke all these words to Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old, and I'm going to step down as your pastor. And I'm going to step down as your pastor because I can no longer go out and come in. What's going on here? There's a very, very real strong principle that needs to be understood. There's something supernatural. There's something powerful about the knowledge and the revelation of knowing how to come in and go out. Deuteronomy 28, verse 6. You'll be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. Oh, hallelujah. I'm blessed coming in my house, and I'm blessed when I'm going out. No! That may be just a part of it, but there's something there. It's all hooked up to the same words that were used. You have to know how to come in and go out. It's the same thing. Solomon wasn't saying, bless me in the home and bless me in the field. He's saying, bless me coming in and going out. I need your blessing on my life in the whole principle of loosing and walking in the revelation of what it is to come in and to go out. It's all over the word. It's great to do a word study on that whole thing. Then you go to John chapter 10, and Jesus revealed himself, and Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the door, and if anyone enters me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out. See, in the new covenant, we also have to know and have the revelation of what it is to go in and out. We have to know that Jesus is now the door, and through Jesus, we have the blessing of coming in and going out. What does this mean? What is Solomon looking for? What is he saying? I need to know. I need to get revelation. You need to help me. My father knew how to come in and go out. I need to know how to come in and go out. You need to know how to come in and go out. And I'm talking about shining. So if we're going to talk about shining, I mean, I can beat you over the head with, let's get out there and reach the lost. It says, be the light of the world. It says, share your faith. I can do all of that. But you know what? If you don't know and have a revelation of coming in and going out, and if you don't know what it is to come in, you'll go out with nothing. So before you can go out, you must understand the revelation of come in. Pastor, that's some awesome stuff. Go to Joshua chapter 14, verse 11. Joshua chapter 14, verse 11. This is Caleb. Caleb said, man, I tell you, I'm ready. I'm as ready as ever to take the land. He says, as yet, I am as strong as the day when Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is it now. And my strength is for war. My strength is for war. My strength is for war. My strength is for both going out and coming in. Going out and coming in. That phrase, when Solomon prayed it, when David understood it, everybody who asked for it in the old covenant, they understood that this was a military term. This phrase was a military phrase. This phrase was saying, I need to know how to experience your presence. Not just go into your presence, but come out of your presence, cloaked in, clothed in, saturated with your presence, so that when I go out with your presence, and I come and I go, and I come and I go. And this is a military term. They would send people from battle who were beat down and were having difficulties. They would send wounded people. They'd send them back to the presence of God. Go back to the house of God. Go be refreshed. Go in so that you can come out. This was a very real, clear, understood principle of warfare that these people in the old covenant knew, and we in the new covenant must also know and apply. You got to understand this military term of coming in. So the Old Testament was a shadow and a type for us. In the Old Testament, the battle was manifest physically. They would go and they would speak to nations and say, our God is God. And the other nations would either say, we yield and your God is God. Or they'd say, our gods are gods. And our gods, literally, when they went to war on behalf of their God. That's what they did. I mean, when they went to war, they would take their gods with them and say, our gods are better than your God. When the Ark of the Covenant was captured and taken into the Philistine territory, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they put it before their God because they wanted to say, see, our God is better than the God of Israel. Woohoo! We've captured the God of Israel. Our God is bigger. But sure enough, when they left, you know, their statue fell down before the God of Israel because nothing can stand before the God of Israel. So there was a very, very physical manifestation of the battle. So literally they would go out and they would battle. They would battle spiritually, but it was a very physical manifestation that they were going out, not just as a battle, but they were going out to witness that our God is indeed better than your God. So their battle was a witness. Their battle was a testimony that our God is more superior than your God. So here, our battle is spiritual. Theirs was, but ours is spiritual. Paul said we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we're dealing with spirits. We're dealing with strongholds. We're dealing with principalities. We're dealing with high things that have set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And Paul said this is a different battle we're in, but it is indeed a battle. And you see, this battle is not for flesh and blood, but it is a battle for the souls of men and women. Okay, let me simplify this for you. Ready? Let me simplify it for you. You ready? How many got distracted by that? Simplify this for me. Coming in, worship, going out, witness. Coming in is worship, going out is witness. Coming in is worship, going out is witness. Now let's go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Get yourself over there. I'm going to show you this now. Show you how this works. You ready? 1 Samuel 18, 12 to 16. Now, Solomon said, I need to know. I don't know how, but I need to know. My dad knew. He knew how to do it. David knew how to go in, and he knew how to come out. And if I'm going to lead these people, I got to know that. So let's look at David. A little story about David here, 1 Samuel 18. It says, now Saul was afraid of David. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and he came in. And he went out and he came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and he came in before them. Then you might say, oh, he went out and he came in. No, it's not just he went out and he came in. It's not just he went out of the city and in the city. He went into the presence of God, and he went out with the glory of God. These people knew this. They knew exactly what they were saying when they said he went in and he came out. They knew exactly what they were saying because they knew that they were using the term that God had given them as a military term of warfare. You got to know how to come in and you got to know how to go out. David gets it. David understands it. David has the heart and the passion of God. So let's look at this. Going to give you three things right here that come out of this, all right? Coming in is worship. What does worship do? Worship, number one, it brings God's presence. Worship brings God's presence. Worship brings God's presence. Now, we were here last week, and when Maisie came up and her heart was on fire, didn't even quite know how to express herself, or she just knew she had to say something. She just knew, I've got to declare hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you see, when that happens, what comes on that? The presence of God. When a heart explodes and begins to declare the praises and the glory of God, when somebody from their heart just explodes in a I do not care, I don't give a rip declaration of the glory of God, the fire of God, the presence of God, the power of God is manifest when you worship. There's somebody who says, I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm not here for a song service. I'm not here to listen or to be entertained. I'm not here to wait till a couple of songs get done and just plow a few hearts. And I'm here to worship God. God. Even when the offering comes, I'm worshiping God. Even while the pastor's preaching, I'm worshiping God. I've come into the corporate presence of God. I've come to worship God. I have come in with all my heart to give him praise, to give him glory, to shout, he is a wonderful God. I'm coming in on purpose. Says the Lord was with him. Luke 24:49 says, stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. I mean, that was the whole principle, that you cannot go. I've given you the commission. I've told you what to do, but don't you dare do it without coming in. Don't try to go out without coming in. Don't take a step in your flesh. Don't take a single thing in your own ability. Make sure that you come in. Don't move until you're clothed and saturated with the power of God. So you got to know how to come in, and worship is how you come in. In the New Testament, most often the word worship is expressed through a Greek word, prokoneo. And prokoneo means to bow down and to kiss towards. To bow down. It's also where we get our English word prostration. It's where you prostrate yourself. It's where you put your face on the ground in front of God. And you lift your face and you kiss toward him. And you bless him. It's like a dog would come to your feet and he would begin to lick your hand. It's where you are completely showing, I am absolutely, totally dependent on my master. No, when's the last time you got right on your face in the presence of God and said, I am nothing without you. I can't move in you. I live and move and have my being. There's nothing I'd rather do, nothing I desire but you, but you, but you. See, David was a passionate worshiper. You look at David, he wrote most of the Psalms, and it's so, it lacks such expression in the English because there's so many words that are just translated praise. And yet many times that word praise is the Hebrew word gul, which means to spin around under violent emotion. We just say, praise the Lord. Yet it means to spin. It means to spin, to be violent. I mean, there's so many different words that we just call praise, and it's more than that. It's ear-splitting screams. Ah, that church is noisy, man. I'm so tired of going there. It's always so noisy. Last time I was there, I had some lady shouting in my ear. Now, that was somebody being biblical. That was somebody honoring the word of God. That's somebody who came in the required way. This is the prescription for coming into his presence. Come with shouts of joy. Dance. I mean, I remember when I was just getting turned back on to Jesus and stuff. And I mean, he'd really touched my heart, really moved on me. I mean, he really saved me from some miserable situations. I remember first time just raising my hands. I went, man, this is pretty cool. Man, I wish I had 10 hands to raise. Ah, you're awesome, Lord. And then, you know, suddenly I see somebody and they're like, whoa, they start clapping. I'm like, I'm going to clap too. Yeah, whoa. I remember when that all seemed awkward and it seemed strange. And I see somebody else in there cutting a rug, pulled out of the pew. I'm like, whoa, whoa. And they're jumping around, dancing, shaking it up. I'm like, yeah, that's crazy. I'm never doing that. But, you know, dance before the Lord. Dance with all your might. I tell you, do you know that you can't go out until you come in? And a lot of times, Sunday after Sunday, we've had songs. Make better warriors. This whole coming in and going out is a statement, not of, you know, cool. God's with me when I come, God's with me when I go. He's with you for warfare. He's with you for dominion. He's with you to take over. He's with you to manifest and demonstrate his kingdom.
Hello.
Why don't you stand up with me right now? Just give it a little practice. Are you ready? Whatever you think is passionate. Oh, I hate it when this happens. I was just comfortable, had my Bible open, just checking my emails on my iPad. Man, it's just, pastor, just so. You know what? What's passionate to you? Just think to yourself, what's passionate to you? Just turn to your neighbor and say, what's passion look like to you? I don't know. This feels uncomfortable already. What's he want me to do? What's passion look like to you? What's passion look like to you? I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to just get, just 30 seconds. 30 seconds to just get, and 30 seconds is a long time. So just 30 seconds, I just want you to get reckless, mad, I mean, just all out crazy for God. Like, is God worthy of praise? Is he worthy of high praise? Is he worthy of all my praise? Is he worthy to be glorified and honored? On your marks, get set, go! Ah! You're worthy, Lord! I praise you! I shout glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. I shout Jesus. Jesus. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Oh, you're worthy, 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 worthy. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Glory. 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 All right, that's enough. He's not hard of hearing. Relax. Wow, man. All right, you may be seated. Man, that was a workout right there, wasn't it? Whew. Let everything that is in me praise the Lord. Wow, that was hardcore. That was a pretty serious workout. You don't need Gold's Gym. That was high impact God's Gym right there. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Man. I tell you, praise and worship and doing that, it brings God's presence. Number two. Give me your number two. You ready? Whew. Got to catch my breath now. If I'm going to worship like that, boy, I'm going to have to do it more often. Terrible thing when you do violent praise once and you're about to have the big one. Number two, it brings the fear of God. The presence of God brings the fear of God. Say the fear of God. Number one, brings his presence. Number two, brings the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about the fear of the Lord that's just I honor him and I reverence him. I'm talking about the scariness of God. I'm talking about the fear of God. I'm talking about his presence in such a manifest and tangible way that every single operation that is against his kingdom or his presence, boomba, it shudders and it trembles because the presence of the Lord brings the fear. In his presence, mountains melt like wax. How would you like to be walking and be such a carrier of the presence of God that you just walk by people and strongholds in their life melt just because you're close by? Be so full of God that I radiate health. Is that in the Bible anywhere? I radiate health so that I'm not just healthy, but I walk by sick people and they get well. They get well because the presence of the Lord, when you're walking in the presence of God, when you're a worshiper, when you're somebody who knows what it is to come in and you get attached to and you get hooked up with the presence of God that brings the fear of the Lord. Well, I just want to tell people he's good. He is good. But the fear of the Lord is not for those people to tremble. It's so that the things that are at work in their lives, it's so that the spirits that are at work in their life, it's so that that disease and that demonic thing that's at work in their life, it's so that thing begins to tremble and it tries to say, we need to get out of here, Jack, really quick. It's that those things say, I got to go. We got to run. But those things are going to leave. See, David was packing the fear of the Lord. When Saul had that demonic thing manifest in his life, they would call David, and David would worship God. And it says the fear of the Lord would come, but the demonic spirit would leave. But you see, Saul was afraid of David. But even when he had this demonic manifestation, he knew that if I bring David here, this tormenting spirit will leave because the power of God that's at work in the life of David will drive out every single thing of the enemy. So it's going to bring the presence of God, but it's going to bring the fear of the Lord into manifestation. Now, you've seen those cartoons where you got the little dog, you know, goes walking, wah, 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 it's always, you know, barking and all that. And all of a sudden, you know, the other dogs want to give him a smack. And then all of a sudden, the big dog shows up behind him. What's going on here? Oh, we're just kind of, you know, straightening out his collar. You got to know in every situation, you got the big dog. You got the big dog. The big dog's with you all the time. See, when you go in the presence of God, the reason you'll go in isn't to have a good time. The reason you'll go in is to get so whacked and saturated in him that when you come out, you don't leave him. He comes with you. And David went into the glory. David went into the presence of God. And he didn't just experience the presence. He came out with the presence. And he came out with a manifestation of the fear of the Lord on his life. We need to have that. Not so people will go, I'm terrified of you, so that the demons will scream out. The demons will leave. Powers will be broken. Things that blind their eyes, hindrances that are there, suddenly, pow, they're in their right mind and you can share Jesus with them. Number three, brings the wisdom of God. Brings the wisdom of God. It says there that he saw David behaved wisely and the Lord was with him. What did Solomon ask for? Lord, I want to know how to come in and to go out. He said, therefore, I need a listening ear. I need to hear from you. I need wisdom, because what I need to know is I need to know how to come in and go out. And the Lord said, you have asked wisely, and I'm going to give you this wisdom. And I'm going to give you this revelation. But along with this, I'm also going to give you gold and silver. I'm going to give you all those things you didn't ask for because you have asked correctly. The thing that you need to understand is the wisdom of how to come in and how to go out, carrying my glory in your life. So here it is. Look at this, coming out with wisdom, behaving wisely. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And you're going to see something about Solomon here and the blessing of the Lord in his life. So 2 Chronicles 9, 1 to 4. It says, Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test. Say test. She came to Jerusalem to see him. No, she came to Jerusalem to test him. She came to Jerusalem to test him. Why? Because in that day, the queen of Sheba and the realm that she was over was the wisest, most wealthy realm in existence. And suddenly she started to hear from across the sea, there's some guy who set himself up in Jerusalem, and people say that he's more wise than we are. People say that his wealth exceeds our wealth. People say that this guy is head and shoulders above our nation. She did not go so that she could learn from him. She did not go so that she could see him. She went so she could show him once and for all that you're nothing in my presence. I'm much wiser than you, and I'm much wealthier than you. She did not go taking all of that gold so that she could give just a gift to him. She went with 9,000 pounds. I think it was 9,000 pounds of gold is what they thought. It was gold in abundance. 9,000 pounds. It says she went with Solomon with hard questions, having a very great, I think I spelled that wrong. But his camels bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table. Hello. Hello. If your house is a dump, you're not in the glory of God. That was good, Pastor. Hallelujah. Solomon answered all the questions. She saw the food on his table. She saw the seating of his servants. She saw the way her waiters served the table and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway. That word, look it up. It means the room on the roof, the upper room. When she saw his upper room, the way he went into the house of God, the way he entered into the presence of God, when she saw his upper room, when she saw his worship, when she saw his devotion, when he saw how she engaged her God, her spirit was crushed. Her spirit was broken. There was no more spirit in her, because the way he worshiped, the wisdom in everything that he did, but especially the way he approached God, his upper room experience with God, totally demolished that spirit that was in her. It was a spirit to condemn. It was a spirit to cast down. It was a spirit to disprove. It was a spirit to come and test. It was a spirit to come and intimidate. And yet the spirit that was in her was broken, and she had to submit that your God is God. Not about being a smart person. Solomon said, I'm just a kid. I don't know how to do this stuff. I got to know how to come in and go out. Solomon didn't have all these smarts because of his gene pool. He didn't have all these smarts because Bathsheba and David were brilliant. He had all these smarts because he sought the wisdom of God, because he sought the presence of God. You see, when you're in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost will make you a smarty pants. The Holy Ghost will make you a genius. If you'll listen to him in any situation, you're head and shoulders. You're wired up to the King of Kings, the Lord of all. You're hooked up to the Creator of all things. You can have better revelation and speak better things than any person in the room, because you're hooked up to God Almighty himself. You should excel and be in wisdom. You should be the most sought out person in your job place. Everybody should know that you know why this business is blessed because of the wisdom on this person. I don't know what it is, but they carry something that blesses us. Who cares what's going on in the world? I'm hooked up to another world. I live out of another realm. I can order my situation and my surroundings. Please settle down. I must go on. And you think about this. You think about how amazing, you know, the brightness and the glory. Sheba, the greatest ruler of the day, comes to challenge this. And instead, she has to bow. She has to give in. Her arguments, her pride, her suspicion is broken before the presence of Almighty God. She falls face to the ground because she experiences someone who knows how to come in and go out. Had a Pentecostal anointing on me there. Coming in is good. Say, coming in is good. Coming in is awesome. Coming in is wonderful. Coming in is glorious. But you came in to come out. You came in to come out. You came in to come out. Now, Pastor, tell me, what is this coming out? What's that all about? I'm glad you asked that question. Worship brings his presence, the fear of the Lord, and his wisdom, but we reach people by the way we come in. Sheba was reached by the way he came in, but there must be a coming out. We've got to make a commitment to coming in. Please, would you today, right now, make a commitment to coming in? Would you make a commitment that when we come on the Lord's day, when we've set apart that time and we're going to come in, would you make a commitment to me that you're going to come in, that your coming in is going to be passionate, that your coming in is going to be glorious? Because, you know, if we're going to shine, if we're going to do this, if we're going to invite people into a place, I want them to come into a place where the presence of God is, where the fear of the Lord is, and where the wisdom of God is in full demonstration. But that's only going to happen as we make a commitment right now that I'm going to come in and my coming in is going to be passionate. My coming in is going to be committed. My coming in is going to be glorious. Can you make that commitment to me? Say, Pastor, I commit myself to coming in. I'm coming in big. I'm coming in hard. And I'm coming in passionate every single time. Amen. All right, let's talk about going out. Are you ready to go out? We're going to talk about going out because we want you to go out. If you've come in, now you came in to go out. How many heard of a place called the Dead Sea? One person. Praise Jesus. Why is it called the Dead Sea? Because it constantly receives and it never gives out. It's a Dead Sea. How many have ever seen cisterns? They collect water and water gets in them, but you know if there's no exchange of that water, it gets that ugly film over the top. I can remember at my house when I was on Princess Street, I was there and walking by the fence one day, I was like, there is a nasty smell coming from my neighbor's place. What is the deal with that? It smelled like something died over there. So I was like, what is going on? But I kept walking, kept searching out, and then I talked to him for a minute. He goes, did you get something really nasty coming from over the fence there? I said, oh, yeah, that's the pump is out on our little pond there. It pumps, circulates the water. The pump's broken. I haven't replaced it yet. And I went, that's it? Just that little bit of water got that stanky? I went, my goodness, that got stagnant, messy, and ugly. After a little while of just the water not being replaced, of a coming and going of water, that thing got smelly. You know, folks, there's an awful lot of smelly Christians. An awful lot of Christians, you know what? There's not the refreshing going on. There's not something going on in their heart and their life. There's this coming in and coming in. Well, Pastor, I love coming in. I just want to be in the presence of God. Oh, one thing I desire, oh, God, that I might be with you, and I just want to be with him. Amen. I mean, I don't have the gift of evangelism, and I don't have the gift to go, but I have the gift to sit at his feet. I have the gift to spend hour after hour just basking in the glory of God. Oh, Pastor, I've had such times with him. I've got lost with him. You know, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That sounds really great, doesn't it? You know, on the surface, that's like, wow, you're really cool. Man, you're really spiritual. Man, you are a Dead Sea. You're the only person who doesn't realize that you stink. Because you cannot keep on receiving and receiving and receiving without becoming a stinker. And I'll tell you, people who do that, I often pull back from. Because they're trouble. Because they're always spending time in the glory realm. And they're always telling you what God's doing. They're always telling you how people should do stuff. I was just in the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. But you know, those people are most often useless. No one here. No one here. Pastor, come on now. I mean, the Bible's all kinds of wait on the Lord, spend time with him. Absolutely. But it's because you need to know how to come in and go out. You see, when Jesus went up the mountain of transfiguration and his glory, the real him was revealed. Three people saw it and they went, oh, oh. They saw Elijah, they saw Moses, they saw the glory of God. They're like, oh, let's stay on the mountain. Let's stay on the mountain. Then the father spoke, said, this is my son, listen to him. And Jesus said, come on, let's go down the mountain. Then when he went down the mountain, there was another father down the mountain. And that father cried out to Jesus, said, help me. There's a cry of the father on the mountain, listen to my son. But the answer to that is to go down into the valley and hear the cry of fathers and mothers all over the place who have brokenness and pain in their lives. And the reason you go up the mountain is to come down with the glory. If you're not coming down with the glory, you are a dead sea and you're the only one deceived enough to not know it. If you're not coming down, if you're not going out, if you are not going out, you are a dead sea and you stink. And if you're not going out, we're going to get some stinker badges. Wow, holy cow, this is hardcore. Yes, it is, and it's because I love you. It's because I care for you. Because you can't just come in, you must go out. You must. Well, Pastor, show me some more about that. I'm glad you asked that. Well, let me ask you this question. Why did David fall? Why did David fall into that moral situation that he fell in? Let me ask you that. Let me ask you why. Can anybody tell me why? Wouldn't it be great if the Bible told us why? Oh, well, the Bible does. Go on, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. It happened in the spring of the year at the time when the kings go out. When the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab. When it was time to go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened. Then it happened. The rest of the sermon is titled Binoculars on the Balcony. Then it happened. You know what happens when you don't go out to battle? Here's what happens. Then it happened. One evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and on the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and he said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and they spent the night together. Let me ask you this question. You think that would have happened if he went out? Wouldn't happen if he went out. Let me tell you this. Listen to me. I can give you name after name of people I know who have shipwrecked their faith because they only came in and never went out. There's all kinds of people I know that never lived out their faith beyond their little Christian world. Never lived out their faith beyond their little experience on Sunday and a few little Christian events. But the rest of the time, they lived just like everybody else. They never went out. They never let the river of God's goodness, the river of his glory, touch or affect anybody else. They kept all that in and never ministered to somebody, never cared about somebody, never shared with people they worked with, their family, other people. Never let the goodness of God get out. Never went to war. This is the term of warfare. And folks, if you don't know it, we are actually right now in a battle for the souls of men and women. We are at battle for their place in eternity right now. And you know what? There's people who go to church and they don't care. And you know what? You might think if I just keep going up and going up, I'll keep on going up. You don't keep on going up, you go in. You turn in on yourself. If you only come in without going up, you don't go up higher, you go into yourself. You get selfish, you get rationalistic, you get into all manner of mechanisms, defense systems, but you dam up your life. You dam up your relationship with the people of God. You dam up your relationship with God until your heart is seared, your conscience is seared, and you'll begin to behave like a pagan. Woo! Everybody shake yourself. The truth, I'm telling you, you might think witnessing is some optional thing. It is not. It's a command of God. It's something we are all called to excel in and to be engaged in. Well, pastor's just doing this because he wants the church to get bigger. It's not about bigger. It's about lives. It's about souls. It's about people going to a lost eternity. It's about having a church and doing stuff in such a way that we want to see lives healed, people touched, people delivered, and people set free. It's not about bigness. It's about the kingdom of God. When you stop giving, you turn inward, not upward. When you stop giving, you turn inward, not upward. And that can apply to your worship and giving as well. When you stop giving, when you don't care, well, how do we reach lost people? We give. How do we do these programs? I mean, Paul's or Mark's not sponsored to go to, you know, the Sudan and all those places by Coca-Cola. We've called Coca-Cola. They don't care. We got the real thing. It's people. It's us. And you know what? We can engage with an unlimited resource. We can engage with an unprecedented flow, a supernatural source of giving and receiving, of giving and receiving, of giving and receiving, where we can step into a supernatural realm of increase as a people. But you know, when you don't give of yourself, you don't give of your resources, you don't give of your witness. I mean, if you do that, you're not still going upward. You're going inward, and you're going to rot, and your needs will not get met. You get your needs met by giving. See, David stopped giving. David stopped going out. Because David stopped going out, he was still in Jerusalem. He was still going to church. He was still doing the stuff that he was supposed to do. He was still doing that. It wasn't that he stopped going to church. He did not go out to battle. And if you're not going out to battle in your life and living intentionally every day of your life for the kingdom and the witness of the glory of God, you are in a place of death. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. You get your needs met by giving. And David wasn't getting his needs met. David wasn't where he's supposed to be. So David stepped into a carnal situation where he had needs. There was something missing in his life. What was missing was he didn't go out. What was missing was his giving. What was missing was there was no witness. That what was missing caused a void in his life. And he looked over the fence and he said, there's a void in my life. And he filled it with something evil. And that's what happens. When you give up on your witness, you give up on your testimony, you give up on your ministry to tell the world about Jesus. Pastor, come on, help me. Somebody shout. I'm working hard up here. Man. Let me see. I'm going to wrap it up right now. Did you hear me say wrap it up? All right, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24. Luke chapter 14, 15 to 24. I'm going to finish it up with this passage right here. It says, now when one of those who sat at the table heard all these things, Jesus is talking about the parables of the kingdom, talking about being in glory with him, who's getting in, oh, it's awesome. Sitting here, he's talking about a glorious future. Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Jesus. Oh, I'm so enjoying this conference. Oh, you are a wonderful speaker. I'm going to buy the tapes. It is so great to be here with you. Oh, this is wonderful. And somebody said, wow, blessed is he who was able to eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Whoa, hallelujah. And Jesus said, let me tell you a story. Because Jesus right then is saying, right now it's not about getting into heaven. Right now it's the fact that our focus should be on there's people out there who don't know me. Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the supper time, and he said to them that they were invited. Come, for all is now ready. But they all with one accord made excuses. Say excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. Now, if the banquet is ready, guess what time it is? It's nighttime. The banquet's ready. It's an evening banquet, and it's dark outside. But this guy says, I bought a piece of ground, and I've got to go see it. I please ask, could I be excused? Now, tell me this. Who buys land and you haven't looked at it? So I call that. You can flip me to the next screen there. Excuses. I bought some swamp land. That's basically what he's saying. Louisiana. No, sorry. How much did they pay for that? Anyways, bought some swamp land. Who buys land without looking at it first? Who does? And who says I'm going to go spy out my land in the evening? I mean, this is just wrong. This is just somebody making up a crazy excuse. He says, I bought some land and I got to go look at it. And then another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go test them out. I mean, here it is. It's in the evening. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I want to go plow a field here at night and just see how those oxen are working. I just bought some. You know, who here has bought a car without doing the test drive first? You looked at it, you test drive it, you do the stuff. I mean, it's not usually a good thing to do that. Maybe these are just excuses. That's all this is. He says, I got to do this. Still another said, I have married a wife, and I love this, because the first two guys said, can I be excused? Can I be excused? And the second guy said, I just married a wife. I can't come. May I be excused? May I be excused? I just got married, and I can see him. You knock on his door, you know, hey, the master's just spread a big banquet. It's all ready. Everything's ready. You coming? I can't come. Now you know that's a miserable excuse. Who's ever been invited to somebody's home and they're a newlywed couple and she's going to cook you dinner? How many have been very, very tempted to say, can we bring something? I'm not trying to be rude. Honest to God, I'm not trying to be rude. But my daughter could burn boiled water. My daughter burned, just, can you put the potatoes on, honey? She burned the potatoes, almost turned the house on fire. I mean, you know, so Carly says, "What, Mom, Dad, why don't you guys come over for dinner? Why don't you guys come here?" Is that okay? I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. But it's not your fault, it's your mom's fault. Because every time you went in the kitchen, she kicked you out. Every single time. Every time I go in the kitchen, Cheryl kicks me out. If I want to get Cheryl to make something, what I do is I go in the kitchen and start pulling stuff out. And she'll say, I'm not making nothing. I go, no problem. I just start pulling stuff out, start making a royal mess of the kitchen. Before I know it, I get the boot and I get a great meal. It's awesome. She just cannot stand somebody messing up her kitchen. And sadly, we have to confess, Johnny, the reason Carly can't cook is because Cheryl just wouldn't let her. She just refused to let anybody. That's wrong. That was poor job, honey. You should repent to your daughter. That was wrong. Anyways, the reason I'm saying all of that is, I mean, what kind of an excuse is it? I mean, you got a banquet, a fantastic banquet. I mean, a banquet of all banquets. When they threw parties, they were big. And then you're sitting there through the door going, I can't come. I mean, I want to come, but I can't come. But I've been sleeping on the couch for a week since I said the last thing stunk, so see you later. These are all completely lame excuses. Bought some swamp land, bought a lemon, got a killer bride. These are all lame excuses. But let me look at the rest of this. Look what it says. It says, so the servant reported all these things to the master, and the master of the house, being angry, said to the servants, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes in the city. Bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. That's us. Bring him in. And the servant said, master, it is done as you commanded. There's still room. Then he said, if there's still room, the master said, go to the highways, the hedges, and compel. Say compel. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Aren't you glad his house is going to be full? That my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited will taste my supper. Excuses, excuses, excuses. The word compel. Look at the word compel. The word compel is to constrain by force. Put him in a holy headlock. Do something. Ask God to help you. We're going to tell kids that if you'll come, we'll take you for the greatest dinner you ever had. I mean, we're going to do whatever it takes to get people in this place. On the 28th, it's going to be packed to the rafters with people because I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. And my coming in makes me want to go out. And my going out is going to be amazing. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to compel people by force. You have to come in. I said to Cheryl, I better quit shouting. If we're on the web, that could be annoying. We'll get nobody to come. Oh, my God. Terrible stuff. You know, witnessing, look at this now, wrapping it up. Witnessing is talking about someone you love. Witnessing is talking about someone you love. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart's not full of him, then you're talking other trash. You know, but when your heart's full of him, you're talking God. No matter what happens, how it happens. It was so great the other night when Carly was talking about Kendra. And he said, Kendra reminds me of that. Whenever you talk to Kendra, she's like, thank God. Oh, let's ask God about that. Every bit of her conversation, she invites God into it. She's always thanking God. Let's commit it to God. God will do it. Isn't God good? Every single time you talk to her, all you get is God. If I'm telling her about something I want, she says, let's take it to God. If I'm telling her about something I got, she says, thank God. If I'm just having fun, isn't God good? I mean, it's God's in everything. He just fills the whole thing. There's no room for God not to be in the center of my life. What fills your heart? What fills your heart? You know, when I started dating Cheryl, my mom knew I was messed up. My friends all knew I was messed up. I didn't go places I used to go. I would do dishes. I would even stand in the mall holding a purse. I didn't care anymore. And I'm standing there. This week she went in the chapters. And then she said, honey, can you go outside and get my purse? I went, my God. I parked the car a long ways away. I had to run through the parking lot, pick up. And it's not a little purse. You know what I mean? It's not like something you just tuck in your coat and come. It's just, you know, so here I'm, and I'm trying to hold it as manly as I can, you know? Yeah, it's a purse. What's your problem? You know, loser. You know, when you're in love, you don't care. You'll go shop and you'll hold the purse. You don't care. It's all right. What do I hold the purse for? I love somebody. What's in your heart? It's about coming in. And it's about going out. Hello? 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 Desmond, we got all of these. Where's my friend? Where are these things? Where's my ushers? We got ushers? Are they sleeping back there? Did he already pass them all out? Oh, you guys are way ahead of me. You got those? How many think that's okay? I mean, I just, Wednesday, I knew I had to have something by Friday, so I just threw something in and said, print these suckers. Get them done. So we got to get something. I got to put something in the hand of these people today because I want them to go out and start to do this. I don't want to give you a message and then not apply it, right? Come on, we got to go. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. How many are going to invite some people? How many know that people need Jesus? They really do. We're going to give these away. Is that all right? How many think that's something you would actually hand out? Is that okay? How many think we can come up with a more cool version? We're going to do our best. We're going to come up with stuff. I want to put some tools in your hand. Did you know that it's something like 90 to 95% of the people that know Jesus now know him because of a relationship? Now, we sent out 10,000 mailers last week to houses all through town, and we sent them out, and we got one phone call, and I think about 246 hits on our website, which is pretty cool. That day, we got 200 unique hits on our website. But, you know, we're not seeing a lot of results because of those kind of things. But you know what? If you'll tell somebody you know, you'll actually fall in love with Jesus so much that you'll see that, oh, my God, these people I know, they need Jesus. I mean, they really need Jesus. And we're going to do our best to make sure that we present them in a way that they're going to go, man, I love this church. I'm so glad you brought me here. My life's never going to be the same. We're going to baptize 10 people in a couple of weeks. Then I'm hoping that the next month we're going to baptize 15. Then I'm hoping the month after that we're going to baptize 20. But you know what? I'm done fooling around. Time to shine. Time to shine. And you need to shine, because if you've just been coming in and not going out, I am fearful for your spiritual well-being, because that will lead to death. And I've seen it way too many times. People get bored. You don't turn into more of God, you turn into more of yourself. Hello? Come on, stand up with me. Jesus. Jesus. Well, Lord, again, I don't even want to preach cute sermons. I really want your revelation to touch our hearts. You know, what really moves us is when a divine seed lands on some good soil and springs forth into eternal life. Father, everything in your word is about reproduction. It's not about me just getting to know more of you. It's all about reproduction. And I need to reproduce. I need to be fruitful. I need to multiply. I, Carl Thomas, pastor down at Impact Church, I need to go out. I need to go out. I've come in, and I want to come in bigger. I want to come in bolder than I've ever come in. I want to come in, and Lord, I commit to you right now, Lord, my coming in is going to be messy. My coming in is going to be passionate. My coming in is going to be wild and intense, because I know that my coming in will result in your presence, the fear of the Lord, and wisdom being expressed in my life. And I know that that expression, when I go out, is going to cause many, many to see your goodness, because I'm going to go out, and like Moses coming out of your presence, I'm going to shine. I'm going to shine with such an incredible brightness. And I want to manifest your goodness to every person I know. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the seed of this word would sink deep in every heart. In the name of Jesus, I press it down. I press it down with love. I press it down with pastoral concern. I press it down because I have a burden for hearts and souls and lives that are in the balance right now. We understand the times, Lord. We know what time it is. We know it's time for people to come home. Time for people to come home. It's time for people to come home. But Father, I pray in this next few weeks that this burden, this passion, not a yoke that would harm, hurt, crush, or destroy, but people would know in the giving, in the witnessing, in the sharing is my blessing. My needs are met as I give. My needs are met as I go. The thing that I'm looking for, the thing that will satisfy me, it's going to be manifest as I release, as I give, as I bless, as I refresh. I will be refreshed. Father, we do pray for souls. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Give us a burden for the lost. Cause us to see like you do. Cause us to see our neighborhoods. Cause us to see our neighbors. Cause us to see the community we're in. Cause me to see my workplace. Cause me to see the school, the people I sit beside. Cause me to see the people at the bank, at the grocery store, wherever I am, Lord, may my eyes be wide open to see that the harvest is white. So, Father, I, in Jesus' name, just press this word deep down into every heart. May it result, in Jesus' name, in a glorious manifestation of your kingdom, your power, and your glory. In Jesus' name.